Thank you, Lord. Well, for a couple weeks I've talked about pride and just some different facets of that and some things related. Pride and the flip side, humility. And so I'm just going to recap a little bit because not everybody has heard everything. But those messages, they're online. And just wanted to recap. We've just been talking about how most people's understanding of pride is not completely the way the Bible would describe it. Pride, yes, most people would say, if you said, describe pride to me, they would say, somebody that's puffed up, thinks they're God's, gift to the earth, is self-centered, probably has a higher estimation of themselves than they ought to, stuff like that. That's what they would say. And they'd be right. That's true. But like we've talked about, you could be just as much in pride and think you're the lowest person on the face of the earth. If you thought, I'm just nothing, especially if you're a Christian and you think, I'm nothing, I don't have anything to offer anybody, I can't believe God can do anything with me, you're in pride. Because if God has said in His Word that we are His children, that we're the righteousness of God, that we are more than conquerors, that we've been created new in Him, that He's for us, not against us. If He said all these things about us, yet we say, nope, I'm not worthy. If God calls us worthy and righteous and we say we're not worthy, we're disagreeing with Him. And we are in pride. Basically, it boils down to anything that we think or say or agree with that doesn't agree with God's Word, you're in pride. You're basically, if God were standing next to you, think of it, His Word, this is His Word, this is what He said, it'd be the same thing as if He were standing here speaking right next to me. Let's say He's speaking next to me and this is what He's saying, and then I get up and disagree with Him. Well, then you could see, I'm in pride. Can you imagine, getting up in front of, let's say God is addressing 100,000 people in a stadium, and He gets up and says some things, and I get up after Him and said, well, that's all nice, but this is my opinion. I don't care what He just said. If I disagree with Him, I'm basically saying, sorry, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, that's pride. You can see that very clearly if I put it like that. But most people won't put it like that. If they're in their own, at home or in their car or something, and they have these thoughts, oh man, I can't believe how stupid I am. I can never get anything right. I can't believe I'm still in this place in my life. I'm never going to amount to anything. They wouldn't think I'm in pride at that point. They're listening to the enemy. They're listening to wrong thoughts. Basically, God has said all these good things about them, and they're standing up after Him saying, no, that's not true. I stink. It's pride. And so we want to get into agreeing with Him, line up our thoughts, our words, our actions with what God has said, and that's called humility. That's called being humble. A humble person will say, I don't care what I think or feel. You said it, God. That's the truth. I don't care if I feel like I stink today. You said I'm okay. I'm not saying my performance is perfect, but because of what You have done, and because I'm a recreated person on the inside, then I choose to agree with what You say and not what I say, and I'll gravitate towards what the image that He has said about me. So, we went over some of those things and talked about some different things last week. Today, I want to go a little bit different direction, but let's go ahead and start in Hebrews. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now skip down to verse 6 in Hebrews. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, the rest, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So what's he talking about here? He's talking about the Israelites, and we're going to read some in Numbers, but he's talking about the Israelites, who even though God promised them that they would enter the promised land, even though it was inhabited by a bunch of people, all these people that were hostile toward them, God said, this is the promised land, you're going to enter it. I'm going to give it to you. Now, think about this in context of everything we've been talking about. God told them that they were going to inherit it. What's the good response when God says, you're going to inherit it? Okay, I believe it. How is it going to happen? What do you want me to do? What's the next step? That would be agreeing with him, but that's not what the Israelites, the majority of them, did. They didn't agree with God. They looked at the circumstances. They looked at how big these people were that were occupying the land, and they said, there is no way. We cannot do it. We're not going to be able to do it. I don't care what God says. We can't do it. And so this is what this is referring to. Look in verse 2, Hebrews 4:2 again. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, you got to believe God when it's not enough. When you hear the word, faith comes, but you have to act on that faith. And so if you hear something and it says you don't mix faith with it, you don't believe it, you're not going to act like it's true. And so then you are essentially any person that will, this is not to heap condemnation on any of us, but when you boil it down, if we won't believe God, at the root of that, we're in, we may say all these different reasons why, but we're in pride. We won't just acknowledge him as, hey, God, you said it, I believe it, that settles it. I don't care if I can't understand it, I don't care if I don't see it, I believe it. But what happens? We live in a world that's natural, even though behind everything is spiritual, we have these eyes, we have these ears, nose, skin that we can feel stuff, we can taste things, and a lot of times we're guided by our senses. So if we see something, we tend to believe it's there, even though in this day and age we know that things can be trickery. Anything you watch on TV, you cannot take that at face value. We just saw how many, weeks ago, or heard about, the fireworks show. In Boston, they're showing this fireworks show. Well, all the video that they had been, they took video of all these landmarks around Boston, and they're showing the fireworks show up against, like it's happening over, from all these viewpoints that are geographically impossible, but they're showing it like over Fenway and, Beacon Hill and all these things. Well, it was just superimposed images. It wasn't real. It wasn't happening. But your eyes would say, that's happening. Well, our eyes can be tricked. Our ears can be tricked. We don't believe everything we hear. We don't believe everything we read. But if God says it, or it comes from him, we ought to believe it. Then we ought to throw everything else out and say, okay, if it disagrees with him, I'm going with God. That's a humble person. That's humility. Because sometimes it doesn't look like, your circumstances are telling you completely opposite, and you want to just go with your circumstances because you feel like you look like a fool to go with God. Think of Noah. Noah was told by God, build an ark. Now, they're in a landlocked area. There's, he's building this huge boat. Boat's probably, an understatement. This huge ship. And there's no reason that anybody can see why this man is building this. You don't think that was hard on the man's pride? How many years? We don't know how many years it took him exactly, but it took him a while to build such a ship with that day and age and that technology, had to have all this stuff going on. And he's out there building the ship. You just have to imagine. People have not changed that much, if at all, since then. You don't think people were up there going, who's this idiot? He had to be the talk of the town. Who is this guy? Well, they probably, of course they knew who he was, but, what are you doing, Noah? You've lost it. You're crazy. But Noah had to say, God told me. That's a humble man. God told me. I'm going to do it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to believe what God said. Yeah, but Noah, why? I don't know. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. All right, I'm going to do it. So after it started raining, I'm sure it looked a little different after the water gets up, that high and they're in the ark. Well, now he looks like a genius. But he didn't look like that earlier. He was, it all worked out. They all realized before they died, probably he was right, but then they're gone. So he couldn't really gloat about it because, they're outside the ark. He's inside the ark. But he believed God. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with the Israelites here. God said, you're going to inherit the land. And they looked at those people and said, no way. Not going to happen. So, in other words, I'm smarter than you, God. I know more than you. I don't care what you say. My eyes tell me one thing. That's it. I'm going to believe my eyes. So in Hebrews, in the verse 2, it says, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So they heard the word. It could have profited them. God gave them to them and said, I'm going to help you inherit the land. But they didn't believe it. So it didn't do them any good. They all died. They all died in the wilderness. But down in verse 7 then, it says, today, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Harden your hearts. When you get down to the root of it, there are so many people in the world. They may have heard the gospel, and what have they done? Instead of believing it as God's word, because the Holy Spirit's there to guide them and to pull them in and to tug at them, what are they doing? I don't care what God said. I don't care what that book says. That book is a bunch of stories. That book doesn't mean anything. That book, that isn't the word of God. That's just something somebody wrote. I don't care. Jesus, yeah, he may have lived, but he wasn't the Son of God. He's a liar. They harden their hearts. Go against what God said and said, I know more. There's going to be a lot of people surprised. And we were talking about last week. You can be the most educated person on the face of the earth. You can be the most powerful or the most money. God he's not concerned with those things per se. He's not against them. And so we're not against education. We're not against money. We're not against, you having influence. All those things are good when they're used for God. But there are going to be a lot of surprised people that think they're very educated and have exalted that education above God and above the knowledge of God that are going to be very surprised, when everything shakes out. Oh, there is a God. Oh, Jesus did die. Oh, all these things. This wasn't just a book of stories. Oh, it's all true because it's pride. It's exalting our knowledge against and above what God has to say. And not just people that haven't become Christians. We have to look out in our life that as we go about, as we have our thought patterns, as we go about our day, are the things that we're thinking, are the things that we're saying, if God were sitting, standing next to us or sitting next to us, would he say, yep, or would he say, that's not what I said. That's not what I told you. Come on, change it. And that's the crux of the matter, because we're not talking about people out there. We're talking about us. We need to be sure we're lining up our thoughts and actions with what he said, regardless of what we see or feel or think or it looks like, because otherwise we're exalting those things above God. Yeah, I know, God, what you said about taking care of me, but have you looked at the economic report? You can't possibly think that you're going to take care of me when it's like this. When the economy is like this, how can I be taken care of? And you wouldn't say it like that. You would just say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. Have you seen the newspaper? What you're really saying is, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You cannot take care of me in a bad economy. I'm sure that's news to God. I mean, who owns everything and has created everything. He can do anything. Let's turn over to Numbers 13. This is the account that I was referring to. Or not the actual account, but it's the end of the account of the Israelites. Numbers 13:30. So we're not going to read this whole thing. We're just going to, the end of it. But what has happened is, God's told them to go in and possess this land. So they sent out spies to the land. They sent these spies to say, okay, go check it out. Let's see what we're dealing with here. And so they go into this land, the Israelites. And they find that it is indeed everything that God has said. The crops are great. There's houses. Everything is lush. But the people are giants. They're huge. They've built all this stuff. They've taken care of it. They are a force to be reckoned with. So these people come in, and they look at everything. They take back some produce. They take back the grapes. Sunday school, you have the picture of these people carrying a pole between them with all the grapes and all this stuff that they've taken back. And they say, yep, it's all that. But these people are all afraid. And so they're all, they say, yeah, fine. These people are everything's there, but we're afraid. So in verse 30, they're all just kind of nervous about everything. So in verse 30, Caleb quiets the people before Moses. They're all coming back to Moses telling him, oh yeah, everything's there, but. And so Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But then the man who had gone up with him, see, Caleb was one of the spies. The man who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are great men, or men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So Caleb tries to stand up and says, let's go up. We're well able. We can do it. Because God said it. I'm agreeing with him. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that these people are bigger. God said it. Let's go. That's a humble man. Just like Noah. He didn't care what it looked like. He said, God said it. I'm following God. Who's with me? And what did the rest of them say? No. And they talked. There was just this band of spies. They told the rest of the people and tainted their thinking and said, no, there's no way. You don't understand. These people are huge. They're big. There's no way we're going to be able to take them. Don't listen to Caleb. Listen to us. We can't take them. We are like grasshoppers in their sight and in our own sight. We can't do it. They're standing up and saying, God does not know what he's talking about. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to Caleb, who's talking, saying that God, what God says is true. You listen to us. We know more. We were there. We saw it. Don't listen to him. We're not going in. We're going to get destroyed. The people listen to him. People listen to the bad report. That is being proud. That is exalting ourselves. It's very subtle, because the enemy will come to you with every reason why you should doubt God's word, why you should not do what he's told you to do. Yeah, but there's this or that. God's dealing with you in your heart to go in a certain direction. The enemy will come and say, yeah, but you can't do it there. Yeah, but the economy. Yeah, but the doctor. Yeah, but you can't. And he'll try to get you off. It all sounds good. It sounds logical. It sounds reasonable. But it is exalting itself against God, and it is ultimately rooted in pride. And the devil will always try to get you in pride. Try to make you think more of your thoughts, more of the circumstances than what God says. The way to completely disarm the enemy is to just shut all that stuff off and just say, I don't care what it looks like. God said it. That's it. I don't care, but God said it. That's it. See, you cannot argue with that. You're in that realm. Nobody can talk you out of it. God said it. If God said it, that's it. I believe him. Yeah, but you're stupid. Don't you see the economic situation here? There's no way you should be starting that business or whatever. And you just say, no, well, God told me, that's it. He's got a way. It's going to rain. Like Noah. God told me to build the ark. I don't care what it looks like. God told us we're going to take this land. I don't care what it looks like. Yeah, but you're stupid. I don't care. I'm believing God. Therefore, I'm not stupid. Therefore, God, you're saying God's smarter than me. That's a humble person. And it may take that in our lives in certain circumstances just to say, look, I'm going to obey God. I don't care what it looks like. That's humble. Sometimes we in our pride, we want to look like we got it all together. And if you don't have an answer for everything, well, you're just not smart. Noah did not have an answer. Caleb did not have an answer, yet they're in the Word of God. We read about them. Abraham, he didn't have an answer. He did not know where he was going. God told him to get out of his country. He didn't know. He's the father of the Israelites. But they didn't know. They didn't have it all planned out. They didn't know exactly what. Yeah, but they knew what God said. That's all we need to know. I'm not saying we don't plan. I'm not saying we don't do those things. But we don't put those things above God. If we don't have all the answers, we're not going to move. And that's not right. God says move, we move. We'll get the answers as we go. Amen? That's the way our attitude ought to be. If God, if I need the details, God will make sure I have the details. But I'm not going to say, well, I just can't unless I have the details. Well, then you're just basically saying, God, you don't know. Don't you know you need to plan, God? The architect of the universe, the one that upholds the whole universe with his hand. Don't you know? Haven't you thought this through? The one who created light, the one who created the planets, the one that all this stuff's going, the one that created your body. Don't you know? You just see how much that's just exalting ourselves above him. Thank God. Let's turn over to James 4. It's so subtle. I'm telling you, in the way I'm saying this, this is not the way it goes through our head. Because if it did, it'd be so black and white that, of course, we would choose, oh, I'm getting into pride here, or I'm choosing the wrong thing. Oh, okay, it's obvious. I'm going to go and choose God. But that's not the way it happens. The enemy's not that obvious. He's subtle. He's a snake. He's a liar. He comes to you very subtly with things. He pushes your buttons with your background, with your doubts, with things in the background that, you know, maybe even from your childhood. He presents it to you in such a way that it sounds really good. It does not, it's not presented like, are you going to doubt God today? It's presented very logically, very reasonably, that any quote-unquote rational person would look at it and say, well, I don't know which one. That's why you just have to shut all that stuff off and say, well, if God said it, though, I'm staying with God. I'm staying with him. He knows. James 4, verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. More grace. Unmerited favor. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He resists those. You want to have it your way? Why no more than God? God says, fine. Why is he against us? No. But he can't work with that. Does he love us just as much? Of course he does. Does he want us to succeed? Yes, he does. It's not that he starts working against us, but it's like, I can't work with this. You can't progress. Think of it. If Noah would have said, nah, I don't see any water, I'm not going to do that. No, forget it. What's God supposed to do? No. God loves us, but if you're proud, if you're going to say, I don't really believe you, God, okay, well, what's he going to do? You're going to get, it's, he resists that, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives you favor that you shouldn't even have. When you say, God, I don't know how to do it. I don't know if that's right. Boy, it sure looks weird to me, but you said it. Okay, I'm going. God loves that. And he opens everything he can for you because he's already got it planned out anyway. He's not stupid. It may look to you like there's no way to go, but if God said it, he's already got it figured out. He's got the plan. He's got it. We don't have to have it. He'll give it to us as we need to know. As we need to know. So he's got it figured out all the way to the end. But if we knew that, we'd probably fold anyway. So he says, look, this is all you need to know. But our job is just to say, God, you said it, so I'm walking. Just like Abram. I'm walking. Okay, I'm getting out. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going. And he'll say, okay, now go over here. Now see how, now this will open. Now you'll meet this person. Now this, you'll have this thought. And you'll walk through it, step by step. And God says he just gives you favor to do that. He'll just give us favor to walk through. And to, he'll open stuff up for us. Stuff that we didn't deserve. We're not doing everything perfect. But we're following him. So we have favor. And we have things planned for us. And we get through it. People say, that's impossible. And you walk right through it. It looked impossible, but whoa, wait, this opened up. Oh, we didn't know that was going to open up. Yeah, but God did. And he made a way. I'm telling you what, that's the way he works. That's what he wants us to do, is to just work with him. It says, God resists the proud. I don't want God resisting me. I mess up enough. I have enough things just to go through, just being a human and deal with. I don't need God resisting me. But he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, see, therefore, because he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, submit to God. Submit. See, submit means even if you disagree. See, if you're in submission to somebody, if you're in submission to the government, it means submission to the laws. Well, I don't think this law should be in place, but it's the law. I'm going to submit myself to that law. Doesn't mean I agree with it. You may not always agree in your natural mind with what God's doing, but give it time, you'll agree. Once you get far enough, you'll say, oh yeah, God knew what he was talking about. So we should just get in the habit of submitting to him. Don't wait for your mind to get to the place where it understands everything. Don't wait till your emotions are jumping up and down. Just submit. Just say, God, all right, I'm going to do it. And it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So, this is the scenario you have. The enemy, the devil's trying to get you to be in pride, to go off and resist him. Do your own thing. He'll package it real well. But really, all it is resisting God. God, on the other hand, is trying to get you just to do what he wants you to do because he knows the best way. And it comes down to that. If we'll just trust him and we know the best way, he knows the best way. So, God's trying to get us to go here. Devil's trying to get us to go there. Bible's telling us, therefore, if God's going to resist the proud, but he's going to give favor, grace to the humble, I'm just going to submit to him. And it's saying, resist the devil. Resist all the junk he's trying to do to get us to go off. And it says the devil will flee from us, run off, and we'll walk on with God and see all the good things that he has for us. And that's the best pathway. Amen? That's the best way to go. But it does, it just takes aside. Sometimes we just got to lay aside our pride. Walk in humility. Walk after him. And let him be God. And just follow him and we'll get to where we need to go. Just make a decision that we're going to submit to him. Just make a decision that we're going to follow him. Amen.